Paul Quiggle Show, the only show of its kind. I'm Brad Pollock. Gary Bell's in the Steamboat. Gary, you with us?
Right here, ready to go for the Bell and Pollock Legal Show.
You can call us at 303-713-8255 in Denver. Any legal question you have, feel free to call us. Let us know what you need to know, what you want to ask, what's bothering you, what you want to cover legally. We're not a political show, so you want to talk to us about legal matters. If you have something going on in your life, if it's a family law, if it's a traffic matter, give us a call. Talk to us. If we can't answer it on the air, we'll talk to it off the air. Estate questions, we'll find somebody who can help you. If you if you have anything you need to talk about, make sure you give us a call. Gary, how is it up there in Steamboat?
I'll tell you what, a lot of snow up here, ready to go for everybody on the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. As Brad said, it's not a political show. We're a legal show, been doing it a long time. So what's on your mind today, you give us a call at 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. We're here to answer your questions. And I'm going to talk a little bit today about hit and run. And we've got a new book out called Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run. And it's the definitive guide in Colorado with regard to hit and run accidents. But more importantly for you, it covers what you need to do in advance, before an accident ever happens. You can do it today. You should do it today. And the last half of that book, and you get the book free, but the last half of the book covers insurance issues in Colorado, exactly what you need to do with regard to your car insurance. And by the way, even though the book is entitled Hit and Run, and even though our show a little bit today is on hit and run, it also covers a situation where the other person has no insurance. Because when you have a hit-and-run incident, a hit-and-run accident, or collision, it is basically a no-insurance situation. So if you have an accident and the driver doesn't leave, the at-fault driver stays at the scene, then it's important that you have insurance if they don't. Because sometimes they say, I'm sorry, I didn't have any insurance. The police come, they don't have proof of insurance. And sometimes, Brad, you and I have seen the situation where they stay at the scene, and then the police come, they give them an insurance card, so everybody thinks they think they have insurance, but when you call, and we've experienced this many times, you call and they say, oh, no, that expired 2 months ago, or they didn't renew, or they didn't pay, or it doesn't even exist. And so this book covers exactly what you need to do right now, today, tomorrow, Monday, in case the other driver has no insurance, how you're protected. And you know, Brad, maybe we can cover that a little bit. I know we got a call, but you just plug in the call anytime you want. We're ready to go.
Well, let's go right to it. Right, we'll stay with calls whenever we have calls. I'm happy to talk to Josh in Colorado Springs. Josh, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, my friend. How you doing?
Good, good. What can we do for you?
I actually just had a question. So, as an employer, if you put a 2 week notice in, do they need to know where you're going to and what kind of job you're about to take?
The only time there may be a requirement on that is if you have a type of job where there can be a conflict for where you're going. Now, that can come up in a couple of different places. One can be if you have any type of employment contract, Josh. If you have an employment contract where they're entitled to know where you're going, or they have some covenant with you where you can't compete with them, then they're probably going to be able to know where you're going and find out. The other thing is like in our business, the legal business, we're lawyers and we do a lot of litigation. We're personal injury lawyers. So a lot of times if we have an employee who's leaving us and is going to go to work for the other side, the defense side, insurance companies or insurance defense lawyers, then we may need to know where they're going to be going during that 2 week notice so that we can build up what we would call a Chinese wall to keep the employee from having access to cases we have against that particular law firm.
Gotcha.
And okay. For you, Josh, Brad hit it right on the nail right on the head, because if you have an employment contract, do you have one in writing at all?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I did sign, yeah, when I got employed, my job, yeah.
Okay, well then you got to check, and we'll be glad to look at it if you want us to when we get it, but you got to check to see if it has a non-compete clause, like Brad just said, or a confidentiality clause, or even a clause in paragraphs and language in the contract that says, you will tell us where you're going to work, you won't compete with us, etc. And so that's important, because your question is, do I have to tell them? Do you have to tell them? The answer is, it really depends on the written contract. If you had no written contract, document, then you're what's called an employee at will. Different rules apply. You can leave, and if you're not under any restriction to, you know, not compete, etc., so you might not have to tell them. But if it's in the contract or related to the contract, you probably will.
So, Josh, here's what you want to do. Why don't you get that contract if you get a chance, okay? And give us a call at our offices to talk to us. Do you have a pen handy? Oh, we lost Josh. Josh, if you're listening, grab a pen. Call us at 303-795-5900 after you get your contract. Pull it out. Get your paperwork. You can send it up to us. You can fax it to us or email it to us. We'll take a look at it, or we'll go over the provisions with you, and we can talk about what's going on with regard to your contract and with regard to your employment rights and whether or not you have to tell them where you're going.
You know, just to clarify a little bit on that point of law there with regard to employment in Colorado, most states and including Colorado, if you do not have a written contract, then you're an employee at will. And an employee at will means your employer can fire you or terminate you for any reason or for no reason. There's very few grounds that you have against the employer if they do. That's why the employee at will status exists. And if you have a written contract, that changes the nature and the flavor of that relationship. And then the written contract applies, and it has to be read and strictly construed. So that's kind of the general outtake in Colorado with regard to employment law. And you know, Brad, let's talk a little bit about non-compete clauses, because people have called us over the years about non-compete. Do I have to live up to it? Do I have to follow it? And you know, there was some law early on with regard to non-compete clauses and in Colorado. So that can be incorporated into a written contract. If you do, you've got to have the language reviewed very carefully and scrutinize very carefully, because it can change the whole nature of the relationship.
Sure. You know, you start out with a position that Colorado normally does not favor non-compete clauses. You have to remember that. Now, non-compete clauses can be enforceable as long as they're reasonable in time and area and distance. And that's what amount of time you have the non-compete clause. And also how far it extends, or how to what area, because it has to be reasonable. And reasonable in the amount of time, the geographic location, the scope of business activities. If the contract is too overbearing in any one of those areas, such that it might keep you from being able to get any employment at all, then the non-compete clause has to be looked at in a different vein, and it's probably not going to pass statutory muster.
You got to take a typical example, and we'll cover that after the break. What if you're a dentist versus a Big Eight accounting firm? You know, maybe your business is national, maybe your business is local in a county or a city. So how do non-compete clauses relate to that? You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we are injury attorneys, but we're here today to answer your questions on any legal subject. 303-713-8255, 713-8255, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We are your champions of the people. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we bring the show to you. We're injury attorneys in our day lives and our radio lives. We're here to help you. You can call us and ask us any question on any legal subject. Telephone number 303-713-8255. And welcome, Southern Colorado. Welcome, Fort Collins. Welcome, Steamboat Springs. We're here for you. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We were talking about employment contracts right before the break, and it's very technical. It depends on the language in your contracts. If you have any situation like that, it needs to be reviewed. But are they enforceable? You got to pay attention to them. That's kind of a general vague answer, but the specific contract language does control and has to be analyzed with the law. Also, we were talking about hit and run today. And if you want a free copy of our book is called Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run. You can get a free ebook on our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. Also, you can get a hard copy, if you just call Kevin in the studio right now, 303-713-8255, you can get a free hard copy. We'll mail it to you. We have another book called Don't Get Hurt in the Same Accident Twice, once in the accident and again on the insurance claim. You don't want to be hurt twice. So you need that book, and it covers some of the biggest myths in Colorado with regard to car accidents, injuries, damages, losses, recoveries, and insurance companies. So, Brad, we got a call from Darius in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, Darius, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate what you guys do for the community.
What can we do for you?
Right. My wife and I purchased a vehicle from one of the local automotive dealerships here in Colorado Springs. And initially, the salesman was explaining to us about this service contract that they had, which I thought was phenomenal. And not only that, but they said that it was free. He said it was free. So when we went to go and sign our paperwork to, you know, finalize the whole deal, the finance guy only had my wife sign the paperwork. I'm the co-signer. But everything else that they had us both sign, except for this service contract. So we almost had the vehicle for a month now. So we noticed in our contract just a few days ago that there is a $2,000 fee. So then what we went to do is we started looking in the contract and seeing the cancellation process. And it said that we can cancel it at any time. So now what we did was, I think this was on Wednesday, day before Thanksgiving, we went in to try and cancel the contract, and the finance manager said that we can't cancel the contract.
Okay.
Well, I tell you what, my original take on that is a couple of things, Darius, because number one, the terms of the contract apply, and so we'd be glad to take a look at that, you know, this week. We'll be glad to help you. We'd be glad to contact the dealership for you. However, the other thing is, in the common law, there's what's known as fraud in the inducement of a contract, and then fraud in the execution of a contract. Okay. And when you're induced, fraud in the inducement, when you're induced to enter into a contract based upon misrepresentations or fraudulent statements, or basically just innocent misrepresentations, whatever category they fall in, then you have an additional ground other than the provisions in the contract to cancel the contract. I mean, they can't just tell you this is free, don't worry about it, you can cancel any time, and then the contract says something different because that's fraud in the inducement or misrepresentation in the inducement. You know, Brad, what's your take on this situation?
Darius, are you trying to cancel the service contract part of the contract or the entire car purchase?
No, I'm just trying to cancel the service part of the contract.
And have they already collected your $2,000, or are you...
No, they haven't. We haven't made payments on we don't make payments on the vehicle until February.
All right, but the paper's probably being written. Did they write you through a local S&L savings and loans or a bank, or did they write you through their own company?
Through their own company.
All right, you got to get that paperwork to us immediately, Darius. We're going to need it. So we want to do that before they sell the paper. We want to put them on notice. And as a matter of fact, you went in and talked to them. You should just do a short note and do it in writing to them saying, this confirms that I spoke to you on this date, whatever date it was, and told you that I wanted to cancel the service agreement on this contract. Okay. This purchase, and get that hand delivered over to them. And you can just hand it to the, you don't have to get in a discussion. You don't have to get anywhere with the service manager. You can just hand it to them. Okay. And I want you to do that. If you can do that today, it'd be great, because then this week we're going to have somebody from our office call you to help you get out of that contract. Okay.
Okay.
If the contract says you're entitled to cancel it any time, then you're entitled to cancel it. If you were misled, as Gary said, that's fraud in the inducement. And I agree with Gary 100%. You're also able at that point to cancel the contract. But what I want is I want these people put on notice immediately. So when we start talking to them, we can tell them, look, here's what you did. You lied to them about the contract. You defrauded them. You had stuff in the paperwork. And everybody knows when you go in to buy a car, the paperwork is almost impossible to read all of it when you're buying the car.
Yeah, there's so much stuff that they have this cram on you. But what I thought was strange was that when I went in there to talk to them about canceling the service of the contract, they wouldn't speak to me. They kept sending a sales person out to me to speak to me. So the salesperson was like, when I walked in, how can I help you? I said, yeah, I'm just here to try to cancel my contract. So he said, okay, well, let me go talk to my finance manager. He goes and talks to him. He comes back, and the finance manager said that you can't cancel the contract. And I said, it states right here in the contract that I could cancel at any time. So he's like, let me see it. So I read it to him word for word on the process of canceling a contract. He said, oh, okay, let me take it to him and show him. So that was – so he took it in to show him that. Then he came back out and was like, can I see the whole contract? And I said, sure. He takes it back in there. And then he says, well, you can't cancel a contract, but you can speak to this lady about trying to cancel your contract, but I doubt that you could cancel your contract.
Well, I tell you what, Darius, Brad hit the nail right on the head. You got to give them a note right away, because one thing that happens in this situation is they sell the paper. They sell your agreement, your contract. And if it gets into a third party's hands, what they usually say under Article 4 of the Uniform Commercial Code is it's a holder in due course, which means in English, a new party's got your contract document. A new party wasn't involved in the original communication or conversations. A new party that now owns the paper, now owns the contract, says it takes it all free of all defenses like fraud, etc. So you need to move on this right away, okay?
Okay.
Darius, so you give them the note. I'm going to put you on hold. I want your phone number. We'll call you this week to help you out, all right?
Okay. Appreciate
all right.
It.
Thanks for listening to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. Gary, let's stay right with the phones, and let's talk to Maureen. Maureen has a question, a legal issue. Maureen, you have a legal issue for us.
I really do, and it's a big puzzle. I would like to say that I really, really enjoy your show. I set the alarm to wake up to hear it.
Well, thank you.
Moving on. You're welcome. Moving on. You're doing a great public service, by the way. I live in Heather Gardens, Aurora, in Aurora, and I have a neighbor who has been harassing me and abusing me for several years now, and I am wondering, my question is, does the association have an obligation to protect me from her?
Well, go ahead, Gary.
Let me ask you a couple of questions, Maureen. Is this person who is harassing you, are they an owner or are they a tenant? Were they leasing it? Do you know?
They're a tenant. They rent.
Okay. Well, I mean, the landlord has an obligation to do a reasonable background check on this person, but also to whom have you complained about this person? The Homeowners Association, the police, anybody?
From the top to the bottom.
Top to the bottom. You got it all covered.
Board of directors, chief of security, everybody.
And what have they told you?
They're going to finally make a decision years later. I'm getting tired of this. It's just too much.
Okay.
Well, have you thought about getting a restraining order against this person?
I have, but they're really kind of a piece of paper, in my opinion.
Right.
Do you think that?
Well, I tell you what. The restraining order, once you get one, or once it's made permanent, the procedure is you apply for a restraining order, a temporary restraining order. We can help you do that. Mm-hmm. The other is it's valid for 10 days or a time extended by the court. That's a bunch of legal mumbo jumbo. What it means is you get a restraining order, then you can make it permanent through the court. And once it's permanent, you might say it's a piece of paper, and a lot of people do because they say, well, nothing ever happens. I never protected. But when you call the police right now, if they came out, they would say, this is a civil matter unless there was a criminal act involved, and you're going to have to work it out. But if you've got a piece of paper with a court seal on it that says it's a permanent restraining order, then the police right there on the spot can move, and they can take action in your favor because they're looking for a court order.
Well, she's very stealthy. I mean, she vandalizes my property but it's in the night, and she's not seen. I've seen her, but the authorities have not seen her. And the police have been there three times for me and for another neighbor for whom she has harassed. And they say, well, she's maybe mentally ill. Well, where do we go from here?
Is she a neighbor?
Pardon?
I mean, does she live right next to you?
Right next door in this building.
All right. Here's what I think. I think we need to talk to you, and I want to talk to you about getting the restraining order, because I think Gary's right. We need to get that for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then we need to talk about how we can talk to Heather Gardens to help give more enforcement of its of the police, or it's got to have some type of guard or security system out there. And
we have a wonderful chief of security and security guards, but they mostly tend to heart attacks and things like that. And the security chief is working with me on this, but we're just not getting anywhere yet.
Well, I think
Maureen,
go ahead, Gary.
I tell you what, this sounds like a very stressful situation for you. We're gonna try to help you. We're gonna put you on hold, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and we're gonna talk to you this week, and we'll see if we can get you headed in the right direction. And I tell you what, we're gonna contact the Homeowners Association for you. And maybe, you know, like the old L.A. Law Show, Here Come the Lawyers, maybe that's going to help you. So we appreciate your call.
How about the landlord, the owner of that unit? We're going to talk to them, too, for you.
Well, that's another thing. I do have that address.
Have that for us. We'll help you this week. We'll give you a call and take care of you.
Well, that'll be great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Maureen. Stay on hold. Give your number. Greg and Melanie, we're going to be right with you right after the break. We got to take a short break. When we get back, we'll talk to Greg and Melanie. We have lines open at 303-713-8255. You're listening to Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We'll be right back.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. We are injury attorneys, but on this show, we're here to help you on any legal subject, as you know. Don't forget about our new books. The first book was called Don't Get Hurt in the Same Accident Twice, Once in the Accident, and Again on the Insurance Claim. And that's a very good book. It's got a lot of myths that people think about in Colorado. If I'm hurt, well, maybe the insurance company will surely take care of me, really. And so you need to read that book. And our other new book, Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run. That's called Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run. It's the definitive guide about hit and run accidents. And it covers, in Colorado, specific step-by-step procedures in the book with picture examples, with deck sheets of insurance policies, what you need to do, what you need to know to get insurance for you. In case the other driver has no insurance, which is tantamount to a hit and run, you can get any of these books on our website, championsofthepeople.com. You can get them free. You can download the e-books. And if you call the studio at 303-713-8255 right now, we can send you a hard copy of the book. Brad, we got Eric from Caitlin's coming up.
How you doing, Eric?
Good. How are you doing today?
Doing great. What's up? Okay, and over at Caitlin's.
Well, let me tell you what we got going on over here. We got a breakfast special and a lunch special. Our strawberry French toast is going to be our breakfast special. That's going to be three slices of French toast. We sprinkle that with a little bit of cinnamon and nutmeg. We're going to top that off with fresh strawberries. I personally like a little whipped cream on mine. You can certainly ask your server for that if you want. And our lunch special is going to be a steak burrito. That's going to be sauteed onions and bell peppers. Your choice of our scratch red or green chili made right here in-house. That also comes garnished with lettuce, tomatoes, guacamole, and sour cream. And don't forget, on Mondays and Fridays, every Monday and every Friday from 11 to 2, it's all-you-can-eat taco and burrito buffet. That's only $7.99. That actually includes a non-alcoholic beverage in the price. And we still got bottomless mimosas for $10. So come on down and check out Caitlin's. Everything here is scratch-made. It's out of this world. Come and hang out with us.
Eric.
Yes.
French toast strawberries have to have whipped cream.
I think so, too.
Okay, just so you know.
I got a lot of cans of whipped cream. Just come on down, ask your server for it, throw it right on top. Can't beat it.
And some bacon on the side, buddy.
Absolutely.
thanks for that little bit of information.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, guys.
Everybody get down to Caitlin's. We'll see you later, Eric. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock.
Okay, so
go ahead, Gary.
The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, you know we're here for you. And we'd like to welcome KRDO, Colorado Springs, KKZN, KHOW, and KEZZ 94.1 FM, Steamboat Springs and surrounding communities. We're ready to go for you. What about the phones, Brad?
I got Greg on line two. Greg, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, real good, thank you.
Good. What's your employment question?
My employment question, I was a utilities manager at a small town over on the western slope for the last 6 years, and I came over there and built a wastewater plant, and you have to have certified licenses to report to the state. And I also helped that town design a water plant, and then this year, my public works director told me, wrote me up and said, you're not managing these people well, and I'm going to take over, and I'm going to fire you. We're paying you too much. What happened is for the last 6 years, I've been getting my guys certified so that they can run those plants. It takes 4 years to get to the top certification, and they got those certifications, and they fired me. And I was wondering if there's anything I could do about that.
Well, first of all, do you have any kind of employment contract at all?
No, it's both at will. You know, I could quit any time, and they could fire me at any time.
No statutory, no ordinances, no documents at all, no handbook. Do you have any handbook, any employee manual, anything at all?
Well, it's an employee handbook, yes.
Does the employee handbook state specifically you're an employee at will?
Yes.
Does it say anything about reasons for termination versus they can fire you for no reason or they can terminate you for no reason?
Yes, it did say that in there.
They say they can terminate you for no reason at all?
Yes. As a matter of fact, the HR guy wrote it up while I was there. We had a new HR guy, and he wrote that in.
Okay. You say he wrote it up after you were there. When you went to work there, was there a different set of rules by which you took the employment?
There was no handbook at that time.
Okay. Well,
then Brad's hitting the nail right on the head, because the leading case in Colorado was Keenan versus Continental Airlines, and Keenan was a pilot. He got fired by Continental just like you just did, and he said, wait a minute, I have a contract of employment, and Continental Airlines in the old days said, no, you don't. And then he said, well, I've got a handbook, a personnel handbook, and the Supreme Court of Colorado in that case ruled that the personnel manual was a contract. But Brad, he said he did when he came to work, there was no personnel manual, no rules and regulations.
Right, and that worries me a little bit. The best we can do in this, Greg, is we need to look through all your paperwork, talk to you some more about how you came to work there and what your understanding was and what kind of representations might have been made. It sounds like one of those things where you actually were training your replacement because you trained people to do your job, and they can hire them for less money, so they figure they get rid of you.
And what I'm seeing now.
Yeah. And so, you know, and an employment will state does that. I mean, it can allow that kind of stuff. The best we can do is look through when you went to work there and see if there was anything at all that we can hold on to that might give you some rights. And what's the governing body of your company? Is there a governing body, or is it just...
It's a municipality, so it does have a town council that
right.
operates. I did inform them of it, and half of them said we need to review it. The other half says no, we don't want to get involved. And the ex-mayor said you need to get involved in this one, but they voted it out.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking we might take a look at the ordinances. Is it a home rule city? Is Colorado City? Is it, or what city is it?
It was actually Newcastle.
Newcastle. I'm going to have to do some looking into it. Let me put you on hold, get a hold of you this week, and talk to you about more of what might be any ordinances that might apply. See what they might have adopted and what requirements they might have had when they hired you. It sounds like they were able to build in some laws after, or some rules after you were there. But let's see what we can talk about what happened when you went to work there, all right?
Okay. Yeah, and the reason when on my termination day, they put me on administrative leave for 2 months to make sure everybody knew what their responsibilities were so they wouldn't get in trouble for not reporting to the state.
Well, you know, Greg, you, as we all know, there's an employee at will state, but what you have, your situation is what lawyers call a fact-intensive situation. that you have to look at the law. You also have to look at the Supreme Court cases, the Keenan versus Continental Airlines case, the language of the contract or the rules and policies and regulations. That's why we call it a fact-intensive investigation. But, you know, we can put you on hold, and we'll be glad to help you.
Yeah, we'll take a look at it for you. All right, Kevin will take Greg's number. And, Gary, let's stay right with the phone. And I think we're going to talk to Melanie right now about a bank issue. And after that, we're going to talk to Janet. Melanie, how you doing?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, thank you for holding. What can we do for you?
Well, my issues with City Mortgage go back to 2010 when my husband and I were experiencing some financial problems, and we got behind on our both first and second mortgage with City Mortgage. And we caught the loan up and paid all the arrears, sent the money via Western Union, and when I went to make the next mortgage payment, we're talking about the HELOC loan now.
Oh.
They wrote it off. It wasn't even on their system anymore.
Not on their system.
Yeah, it was completely not even on their system. They couldn't take money even if they wanted to. And I finally spoke to an executive, and he said that they would send me a 1099 and that I didn't have to worry about the loan, that I would just have to pay taxes on that loan balance.
Did they turn you over to collection?
No. I never heard anything back from them until July of this year.
Uh-huh.
Then what happened?
Well, now they want all the arrears, totaling about $16,000 in 30 days. And I was just, you people are out of your mind.
Did they ever send
Wait a minute. I mean, hold your horses
here. Did they send you the tax form?
No, they never did. And that was such a stressful time. So when I never heard from them for 4.5 years, I thought, well, eventually that 1099 is going to show up and I'll deal with it then. But I never received anything from them. Not even a statement or a bill or anything from them for 4.5 years.
Did you ever receive anything in writing that said they were giving it up, they were forgiving it, they were writing it off? Or did when you just called, they just said it wasn't there?
They just said the loan's not on their system anymore, and we wrote it off, and we're sorry.
Yeah.
After I caught the loan up, but
okay.
Mind you.
You're gonna need some help on this one.
When you caught the loan up, they kept that money, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you caught it up, and then they never sent you another bill. They didn't send one thing.
Not for 4.5 years until now I get a notice. Say, hey, you owe us $16,000.
Had they had a practice of sending you bills prior to that, the monthly bill?
Nope, only on our first. We never received any other notification from them regarding the second mortgage until 4.5 years later, which was July of this year.
Oh, no, when you took out the HELOC. Well, Gary, we got to go to break. Can you hold
with
us?
We got to go to break, but, I mean, they took your money, and now they want more money?
Yeah, they do. And it gets so complicated.
Melanie, as my dad used to say, you can't sell a horse and keep the horse and the money.
Well, that's what
you can't do that.
Melanie, hold with us. We'll be right back.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. In our day lives, we're injury attorneys. In our radio lives, we're here to help you. 303-713-8255. And don't forget about our new books. First one is Don't Get Hurt in the Same Accident Twice. Once in the accident and again on the insurance claim. They're free. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. You can download them, an ebook, or you can get a hard copy if you just call the studio here or call our law firm or come by our law firm and we'll buy you a cup of coffee and hand you a free book. The other one, Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run. And don't forget about our show that's going to air coming up in a week on our legal game plan. Brad Pollock and Gary Bell's 25, 30 years of experience helping people put their lives back together again. You need a legal game plan. You can do it. Brad, we got Janet with an Arvada medical question.
No. We still got Melanie, Gary. Janet comes up next.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Janet, you'll be right up. Let's finish
on
off
Janet.
Melanie here. Melanie, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Good. Melanie, here's what I want to ask. When you first took out the HELOC and when you first had the loan and before you had any kind of financial problems, were they billing you on a monthly basis? Would you get a monthly statement?
Yes.
Okay. So you get this monthly statement, and when you couldn't make the payments, obviously they started sending all these ding letters. And then next thing you know, you caught them up and you didn't hear anything more from them.
Right. When I went to make the next payment, now the loan's all cut up and I went to make the next payment, the loan wasn't even on their system anymore. They wrote it off.
So they established a nice practice for you of giving you monthly statements, monthly bills, telling you this is how much you owe. When you didn't make payments, they started getting upset with you. They sent you these letters. Then you catch them up. Then you don't get a bill. You call them up and they say, oh, we wrote this off. We're sending you a 1099. And do you by any chance remember who you spoke to?
I have all the names.
Great.
All the conversations, yes.
Fantastic. Good job. And then what happens? They don't talk to you. You don't get anything for 4.5 years. And then somebody picks up this balance due and sends you a letter saying, now you've got all these payments you got to do and all this money you got to pay, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to want to talk to you off the air. Now, the danger we have here is by not catching this up, you could have yourself in a position where they start a foreclosure on your house, and we don't want that to happen.
Right.
Okay? So we want to be able to get a hold of them and talk to them and get some stuff straightened out.
Well, I did, if this needs to be off the air, that's fine, but I did negotiate with their recovery department a new agreement where they agreed to settle on 50 cents on the dollar, and I go to make the next payment, and the same thing happens.
Wait a minute, is this negotiation with their, quote, recovery department, end quote, is that in writing? Is it signed by them? What is it?
I have two signed agreements from City Mortgage, and they've never withheld, they never did their end of the bargain.
We want those.
Wow.
I have them.
We're going to help you,
Melanie,
young lady. We're going to help you.
I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to call you. Yeah, we want your number. We're going to call you. We're going to get this all straightened out for you, okay?
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you.
You need somebody to help enforce these agreements. They keep making agreements. They don't want to honor them. They just keep trying more.
It's ridiculous. It goes on and on.
Okay.
Well, Melanie, thanks for the call. Kevin, take down her number.
And Gary, now we're going to talk to Janet.
Now we can talk to Janet.
Janet, how you doing?
Real well, thanks. I have a question for a friend who was taken to the hospital with a broken leg. Well, actually, she went to the hospital with a broken leg, and she was in there, and they did the surgery on her leg, and while she was in there longer than ordinarily they would keep her because they couldn't get her pain under control. So anyway, she was in there, and as they do in the hospital, an occupational therapist at one point came in to try to help her get around with crutches. So while the occupational therapist was with her, she fell on water. There was a little bit of water that was on the floor, and okay. She didn't have that safety belt that they put around their patient's waist.
Okay.
So she fell onto the couch that was there in the hospital room, and they immediately, of course, got very concerned and took her in for more x-rays to find out if the fall had impacted the surgery. They then told her afterwards that it had not, but I wonder myself what, I guess I'm just not very trusting anymore.
I tell you what, Janet, this just falls into a really complicated area. It sounds like it should be simpler, could be simpler, but it's not, because you got to look into the duties of the hospital and whoever was in charge of her, and is she a high fall risk? Probably with regard to that kind of surgery. Are they supposed to have the premises? Yeah. And so are they supposed to have the premises safe, no water? Is she supposed to be supervised? And so it's a complicated, it's a long way around the ranch. I'll tell you that. It's not the shortcut. Mm-hmm. But we can get there, with you and with her. But it involves a pretty much investigation. You say she was listed as a high fall risk?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well.
Okay. She's listed as a high fall risk. Was she being directly supervised with her crutches when she fell?
Yes. In fact, yeah.
Well,
the occupational therapist was with her.
The
tried to grab her by her nightgown when she noticed that she was starting to fall.
The question comes up as to whether or not the fall caused additional injury. And, you know, obviously your friend is saying she has additional pain, isn't she?
Well, it was so painful to begin with that she's not saying that she has additional pain, but she doesn't know.
Okay. Had they given her an estimated time when she'd be able to leave the hospital?
Yes. They had told her that she would be leaving the next day.
Is it now extended?
She left 3 days after she was. Okay.
So it was an extra couple days. And is she fully recovered or is she still having problems?
Oh, no, no. This just happened last week.
All right. So, you know, obviously Gary's 100% right in what he's telling you. And then we have to look and see if, in fact, they didn't give the proper treatment, if they were below the standard of care, if that's caused additional injury or problems to her. And this might be second opinion time, Gary. What do you think?
It might be. But, you know, Janet, there's a big issue of causation. And in legal parlance, legal talk, did the fall cause, did it cause any additional or different injury, physical injury, anatomical injury, pain and suffering? And of course they said they took an x-ray and quote, everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds me of that line from the Godfather show, come over to my territory where everybody's going to be safe. But we're going to have to help you off the air, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yep.
Thank you.
So we're going to put you on hold, all right? And, mm-hmm. and Janet, we appreciate your call and we'll give you some help here, okay?
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you for calling the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. I'll tell you what, go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. It's an information-loaded website. You can get our new books. You can get the information. And we got a feature called Meeting by Accident, trademark protected. It's all for you. And our books are designed for you. They give you information. And don't forget, Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run. And if you want my deck page, my declaration page for my own insurance company, you can have it. We are your champions of the people.